welcome to the F1 show from the British Tech Network. We're a network that loves our tech, but we love our F1 just as much. And it's a new season. We've started all over again. It doesn't feel like 3 minutes since the last time we finished and we crowned Vettel as champion in November.
Yes, it was.
And then we're all back again now. So hardly any break. Joining me, a panel of experts. Ish.
So called.
And top right, we have Steve Naber, expert in engineering, braking, and cornering.
What?
You're just trying to figure what we're all specialists in.
I thought you built tracks.
I do build tracks. Really good tracks.
Well, at Sky Electrics.
No, I do build Sky Electrics. No, I've got two girls, so they don't like Sky Electrics, even though I bashed them around the head with it, and I really want them to take on Sky Electrics. Well, they don't really like Sky Electrics.
Are you having a third?
Really excited to be back.
Are you having a third?
No.
Oh, so no third boy.
Too expensive.
My cousin decided that he wanted a boy, and he kept going till he got a boy. They've got seven kids now.
I guess seven six girls and a boy.
Or six girls and a boy.
No, the bummer was that they had two boys popped out as twins.
No. Not going
and then just for good measure, my cousin's pill didn't absorb 1 month and Ian came out.
Have a guess what favourite car, Formula One, is the favourite of my five-year-old girl.
It's got to be the silver one. It's got to be McLaren.
No, it's the red one. Naturally drawn towards the Ferrari.
Really?
Under no encouragement from me.
That doesn't bode well for the future, mate. That doesn't bode well for the future.
Could be expensive taste, though.
You don't want her to be a gold digger.
No. Well, why not?
Oh, true. Okay, maybe you do. a cousin of mine wanted a daughter stopped after seven sons. Good God. Thank you. Super Chicken in the chat room. Crossy125, follow me. Don't come in here, Crossy, and start advertising yourself. How did you enjoy the restart? Have you been desperate for it, Steve?
The restart? Oh, yeah, I love this podcast. I enjoy this.
It's stuff the F1 season. We just do the podcast instead.
Yeah. It's good atmosphere. Really enjoying the complexities this year between F1 and BBC and Sky. Looking forward to debating that.
Yeah, that'll be first item, I think.
And through the season as well, it'll be a good season, I think, particularly with McLaren winning the season.
Winning the season already?
Tempted to put a bet on already on who's going to win.
You're getting short odds on McLaren, I would have thought, after this weekend. Sarah, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Back for F1.
Sorry?
Back for F1.
Oh, yes. Always back for F1. I love my F1. Excellent. Always have done.
And a good start to the year, I thought.
Yes, I'm wearing my orange jersey, just like a McLaren teammate, just for the fact that Jensen actually won the race.
I was going to say, I thought if there's one person this weekend who's going to be happy Jensen's won, it's going to be Sarah.
Do you know what? I tried not to see the results before the race, and I didn't even go into Twitter or anything. But on my phone on Sunday morning, I noticed there was a tweet for me from, I think it was from you, and I thought, I wonder if that means that Jensen's won.
Oh, and I didn't say anything at all about it, did I? It was just, are you coming or what?
No, I just thought I can't even bear to look at it just in case.
But, it's all right. If Will Green was on this podcast, he'd try and avoid the result before the podcast. So,
well, I know Mr. Naber also tried to avoid it as well. And was it you that tweeted this, Steve?
Yeah, I tried to avoid it all morning and just basically failed after about 3 minutes.
It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough season ahead for you guys.
It's really going to be hard.
And my fellow Sky Watcher, Mr. Christopher Woods.
Skywatcher / mug.
You paid for the F1 coverage from Bernie via Sky. Was it worth every penny?
Bernie basically came around my house and let a pint of blood and then made me sign with said blood. It's quite painful. In fact, it continues to be painful, but worth it.
Well, I mean,
just adverts in free practice are killing me, though. They've got to take those out.
So now we've got to start with the obvious debate about F1 Sky versus F1 BBC. Is it worth it? Did we resent it? Did we jump ship? I was already in. I mean, I'm a Sky One HD subscriber anyway, so for Sky Sports. So it's kind of, right, you know, free
gift.
You
got a whole shebang there.
I got a free gift.
Well, it wasn't so bad because I'm a big Discovery fan, so you get all the other stuff as well. And at least you're not paying an additional £10 for the recording and all that nonsense. But
no,
it's still a lot of money. Given how much I'm paying, £30 a month and change, I was a bit disappointed with the coverage from the first weekend. However, I'm still hopeful that they'll improve.
No, you say you're disappointed with the coverage, but I bet you our pictures looked exactly the same as the BBC pictures.
Well, after watching the whole race live on Sky, I then watched the BBC highlights package, pretty much all the BBC highlights package. And if you were less than a hardcore fan, you would be quite happy with the highlights package. And the post-race analysis for me was far better on the BBC than it was on Sky. But I think that's because they're a new team, they're getting into it. You know.
Even without Martin Brundle?
Even without Brundle, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, they've done well to keep a couple of the people. They've still got Coulthard. And
no, it's only because he cocked up on his contract, though.
And they've still got Lee McKenzie doing interviews, which is really key for me because she's a cracking interviewer. She can get straight to the core of the problem. And all the drivers like her. There was a cutaway at one point where I think it was Fernando or could have been Vitaly. It was someone retired. And they went straight for Lee because they know that they're going to be able to answer questions in a nice way. And she's, you know, Jensen said, you know, it's always nice to talk to you. I remember in 2010. I think Natalie Pinkham has been put into an equivalent position and she's still a little, she's been a little too polite. You know, you've got to kind of just get in there with the microphone and ask the questions. But we'll get there. We'll get there. It's nice to have Crofty and Davidson.
Mm.
I'm glad they're there and they kept them together. Funnily enough, they sent me a survey today. You may have got it as well. And it was like, so how did you think it went? And I was quite scathing, but I'm still hopeful that they'll improve. It's the first race. It was more the technical problems that annoyed me. I was trying to use the interactive features and it just didn't work properly.
Well, are you guys all sitting there thinking that the race cameras are each broadcast agency's own?
No, they're all supplied by FOM.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the thing is, yeah, there's a question in the chat room. I watched Satanta's coverage and they use the live BBC feed. All the stuff on the grid and that kind of stuff, that is all their own camera. That's unique. That's theirs. Mm. Everything else for the whole of the race coverage, you're probably not even seeing a Sky producer doing the cuts. It's probably the central cut. And all they're doing is sending out the feed to every single supplier that wants it. F1 totally control exactly what comes out on that feed. So from a race viewpoint, every image you see at every point in the race is utterly and totally controlled by the central broadcasting service that's provided by the FIA or the F1.
If you remember last year, because I haven't got Sky, I didn't see it live, so I don't know how it works. But last year they had that F1 swish at the beginning, and it was from that point that the FOM coverage kicked in. So so Martin's grid walk and all the interviews and everything before that was a BBC coverage. But after that, it went into FOM coverage.
Yes.
Well,
come on, Steve.
So what was the Brundle pit walk like on the start?
What did you think?
I presume they did it.
The grid walk.
He did do a group.
I thought it was his usual style, and it was very, very good. I mean, it was very watchable, very enjoyable. He talked to quite a lot of people. He got Kravitz on to chat, and I thought Kravitz was quite good. He was kind of like, you know, I'm just good to be here. It's, you know, there's only a handful of guys do this. He clearly understood about the sport, although he was a bit out of his depth with it. And the thing I like about Brundle is Brundle knows he's interfering with people that probably don't want to be interfered with. So he keeps it short, he keeps it brief. Hi, Lenny, how are you doing? What do you think to F1? Is this your first time here? Yeah, I've never been here before. You know, I just wanted to get near. There's only a handful of guys do this. Great, well, thanks for a few words. And walks away. You know, he's at the point that he walks away before they probably want him to.
Yeah, because he's good. Been there.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Been there as a driver. He knows exactly that, yeah.
And I thought his walk was excellent, as always.
The Dutch Sky female presenter that he always used to miff off every week, or is he now working for Sky and therefore, after you, lady?
So who's this? Is he? Is he
the German Sky Sport presenter? He would always
the German one.
Always bust in on her interview.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Is it now like, oh, we're working together, part of the same team,
one big family,
to the sky?
Well, no, Sky Germany is a completely separate company as far as I'm aware.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They share the branding, but they're completely—they're owned by the same parent company, but they operate as an entirely separate entity.
Yes.
Next year, they're telling me that Richard Branson doesn't drive trains.
He doesn't own Virgin Media either,
doesn't he?
Amazingly,
he sold it off.
I bought into that brand.
Well, no, Virgin brand's nothing to do with
full use.
You don't buy an island without selling something off.
Virgin Islands. He owns those, doesn't he?
No, they're not his.
Contrary to popular opinion.
He owns an island, but that's not it.
Oh, okay. Right.
There was one particularly excruciating moment, though, where Brundle was obviously stalling for time, and he ended up standing next to one of the flag girls, one of the mascot girls, stand there with numbers. And he was going, so, doing a great job. You had a chance to meet Fernando yet? No.
And you're telling me that the Sky coverage is as good as the BBC. He never did that on the BBC.
No.
Oh, it's gone so low. It's just lowered. It's just intellectual stuff.
I've got to say, first of all, I don't miss Jordan. I really couldn't care less about Jordan.
No, you don't miss his shirts.
No, I. When Jordan came on, it was a bit of me was kind of like, okay, I got a great deal of respect for you because, you know, you've done a lot within the sport, but actually when you talk, I just want to switch you off.
The great thing about Eddie, though, was that sometimes he would be so outrageous that then everybody else would counter with quite reasonable arguments and actually make a point quite well. So he was good for starting a discussion, I thought. And occasionally he came out with an anecdote or something that was amusing. You know, he's been a long time, hasn't he? He's got his own opinions, but yeah, he wasn't always right.
He said it to me that the coverage was really showed you the difference between Eddie and DC in the pit lane compared to the Sky coverage, where Eddie and DC know all the people. So their atmosphere of going up to talk to people and getting people to have good conversations with them was just black and white coverage. Jenson Button stayed a long time to talk to them post-race, and they really got people to kind of open up, and they're very good at that. They've got the personalities and they work, and that's what Sky don't have. They have people who talk very loudly and are very expressive, but they haven't got the personalities to get the things that they want in the pit lane, was what somebody mentioned to me as a difference.
Absolutely. This is what Sky are going to struggle with, because they are an unknown and people aren't sure how they're going to treat people they interview. And Humphrey is well liked. He's a great presenter. There was a feature on the BBC Sport website where there was a video and it showed all the things that he has to deal with whilst he's presenting a live show. It was just the amount of information. He had open talkback. He was having to deal with VTs coming in from people, live interviews, all this kind of stuff. And it's incredible. He's a really, really good presenter, but he's good at all sports presenting. And I'm really glad that he stayed on, because he still makes the whole package work.
Yeah.
And what I particularly liked about the highlights coverage was that after their coverage of the race had finished, they spent best part 3/4 of an hour doing post-race analysis and giving you all those VTs from the bullpen where they go after the race to get the interviews. And Sky show very little of that. And I don't know if that's because they were still getting used to the whole mad dash of it, or whether they were still trying to work out how they would perhaps differentiate themselves from the BBC. But as a hardcore fan, I want to see exactly what the BBC gave us after the races. And I think they'll get there eventually, but it's going to take a few races.
I think it's the what you were saying about the fact that they almost seem to be part of the same family in terms of interviews and stuff that actually made the BBC coverage so makes it so good.
Because McLaren take a feed from the UK and show it in their paddock.
Yeah, we saw that once when DC was back at, is it Woking, isn't it, in Surrey, where McLaren are, and they actually showed it. That was last year sometime.
Shows you how highly they rate it. The BBC coverage, I think, is the benchmark. And I've said this to Sky in the surveys and I've said it in emails, that you've got to work towards this. Don't just be a carbon copy, but you've got to be as good as the BBC.
So question for you and Chris then. When the Silverstone and the Monaco, the ones that the Sky and BBC have, which one are you going to watch?
BBC. I would prefer the BBC because mostly because of the fact it's easy to get stills for this. I mean, I've got iPlayer automated, so I can get everything off iPlayer, and I can make stills to show on here. And this weekend, I've got absolutely nothing because of the fact it was a Sky only thing, and I haven't had a chance because of the delay on giving out the coverage from BBC to actually have time to sit down and do it. There's some comments here in the chat room. Jenks is saying I watched both Sky and the F1 coverage from the BBC. After the fact, liked both. Not so keen on the guy who spoke with Brundle, though. And I tweeted out when that guy started, who is this who is screaming off the top of his voice? He really, really pissed me off for about the first five laps. But then actually he calmed down and he wasn't too bad. But I just shut up and let Brundle call the race and you come in with questions if you need anyone else. But I think they really suffered from the fact that you got Brundle calling the race and then you got Coulthard coming in as the expert, and there was no one else to add to Brundle as the expert.
You say Brundle, do you mean Coulthard?
No, we're talking Sky.
Sky's coverage.
We're talking Sky. Okay, yeah. Well, then it's Brundle and David Croft.
Right.
Well, David Croft is, I quite like the balance. Did you listen to any of the free practice coverage last year? Because for that, they took the Five Live Sports Extra audio coverage, which was the full coverage, and put it with the video.
And what, Sky it was, did?
No, the BBC.
Okay, sorry.
And the reason that I think Croft and Anthony Davidson managed to go straight to Sky was because their production company is not the BBC. It's a third party production for Five Live Sports Extra. So the company just up sticks and now do this for Sky. But they work really well. Anthony Davidson and David Croft work really well as a team. And when I used to watch on Interactive, I actually preferred to listen to the Five Live coverage because it was better.
Yeah, radio commentary has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But he's got the most annoying voice going. I mean, he was screaming his jugs off at the start, and I was just like, it's the start. Scream your jugs off at the end.
Who was awful. Would you rather have David Croft or Jonathan Ledyard?
That's not a fair choice.
They both screamed a lot.
Would you like a piece of Christmas cake or a cow pat?
David Croft or James Allen?
Oh, no, that's not a fair choice either. I don't want either of them. I want Brundle calling the race with another racing expert next to him. I'd rather have Brundle calling the race with John Watson next to him.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, someone like that. I don't care less who it is.
Or somebody like Damon.
Dig up all the old coverage of James Hunt with Murray Walker, but it was that. That's what was needed, and these two ain't Murray Walker and James Hunt. The problem is that Brundle is a better Murray Walker to start with, and he calls the race better than Murray Walker ever did, and far better than Croft did, and they need another driving expert in there with him, and that's what they need. They need rid of Croft because he just pissed me off for most of the race.
I think you're warm to him. I think you will genuinely...
Only if I pee on him.
That's a strong opinion after one race, Ewan.
I was a strong opinion after 45 seconds, mate. I tweeted out.
I've only
been watching the coverage from Sky for 30 seconds and I've had enough of this bloke. I didn't say bloke. The other two that annoyed me, was it Alex and someone else? It was Alex and Jason, I think. And they cut away to them and she started talking and
Georgie.
Maybe. No, she wasn't. Was she Georgie?
Georgie Thompson, like the 4 foot.
She's 4 foot, but she's got a voice like a Welsh coal miner.
Yeah, her and Anthony Davidson.
Yeah, they were, And he was like, hello, everybody, come and have a look at this. And she was like, what do you think? Oh, yes. She was like the Churchill dog. Oh, yes.
If you want to get a sense of what last year's free practice coverage was like, listen to the free practice with Sky because it's Crofty and Davidson and they commentate really well as a team because Anthony Davidson is still an active racer, but he just DTM and all the other kind of stuff except F1, but he's got the knowledge and he helped collaborate with Cody's on the F1 game. So, you know, he knows what he's on about. And Crofty's like an everyman. He's a real enthusiast. He's a genuine enthusiast.
What, he just upsets everybody?
He's not quite as technical as Anthony Davidson, but yeah, he's come from radio and he's going to adapt, but I think he will adapt. And I really grew to enjoy his commentary over the past 12 months.
Right.
He's really enthusiastic and it's infectious.
So he's going to grow on me like mold.
He will. like a bad rash. You're not be able to get rid of it. Not like creams.
Talking of commentators, the one aspect of the BBC coverage I didn't like was Ben Edwards, the new commentator on BBC. I thought he was... I'm not going to say crap, because like I just accused Ewan of, I don't think it's fair to judge somebody after one race. But even during the quali on Saturday, I was getting irritated by him. And he was making too many mistakes. And that's where we really missed having Brundle, who didn't need to make those mistakes because he could anticipate what was happening because of his experience.
And I bet you didn't like Murray Walker. He made mistakes.
Like everybody else, I warmed to Murray, and he's a character. But F1 has moved on from that years ago, and it benefits from having experts commentate on the race, as we now know. And that's the kind of standard we expect.
Personality, excitement, creativity.
Well, it depends what you go for, I suppose, doesn't
it? Personality. I quite like Georgie Thompson. She looks nice.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Yeah, but she doesn't come past your waist.
Yeah, I'm a geek, I like to hear what Martin's got to say about, you know, the DRS, and, you know, I know he knows what he's talking about.
So, comment from Jenks in the chat room. Would it be Brundle and Damon Hill as the magic ticket then in the commentary box for Sky?
Well, that's why I said somebody like Damon would be good.
What's going on with Damon Hill? Because I'm just on the Sky.
What's he actually there for?
He stepped down as president of the BRDC last year, didn't he? So I don't know if he's doing anything actively at the moment.
No, he was part of their coverage.
I'm on Sky Sports F1 team website at the moment, and there's the lovely, what's her name? Georgie. There's Natalie. There's the golf guy. What's he called? Steve Ryder. And Martin, and right at the very bottom, they've all got nice videos, and all the girls have got very short skirts on, which is really weird.
Well, that's weird.
Steve.
I think weird isn't the word, but okay.
And at the bottom, there's Damon Hill. He hasn't got a video.
Has he got a short skirt?
No.
Yeah,
but
why wasn't
he commentating then?
He was around. He was
part of the team.
Yeah, he was there and he did a bit of stuff, but I kind of, during the race, I was kind of thinking... And Damon's doing what exactly? Taking a big paycheck, no doubt. But I didn't think he added anything. Chris, did Damon add anything?
Well, he was there for before and after, wasn't he, really?
He looked grumpy.
Yeah, maybe they're figuring out how to fit him into the coverage properly. It would be nice if Sky are a little bit more maverick than the BBC. The BBC are very, very staid in one respect. They have their presentation format. They will not waver from it. Hurts them. Whereas Sky will just do little picture-in-pictures and they'll flash things up on the screen and, you know, they've got the animated driver heads and all that kind of stuff. So it would be nice if every so often they did a cutaway to the paddock for some live commentary. And you had Damon in a little window. That'd be nice. But yeah, he did feel a bit like a spare wheel for the first week.
So do we think Brundle and Hill as a commentating team would be too geeky?
Yeah. This is their problem. They're trying to do the balancing act that Sky had to do BBC had to do last year, which was get someone who's technical enough, but balance that out with someone who's accessible enough to someone who knows nothing. And that's what David Croft is quite good at. He's really enthusiastic and he understands enough to be able to not have to constantly figure out what's going on. He can do things like read the timesheets and look ahead to what's going to happen. So he can begin to talk about strategy, but he's not really, really technical like Anthony Davidson.
He can do technical things
well
like
together.
Tell the time. The F1 team that you've got for Sky is, and the interesting thing is the pictures that Steve's talking about there in the videos. I mean, you can quite literally see there how tall Georgie is.
She's tiny.
And she's not, well, she is tiny, but she looks pretty big compared to the rest when you think about some of them possibly a 6 foot, like Hill and so on.
But Damon is, yeah.
She's not actually that tall.
She's probably wearing heels, though.
I'm sure Anthony's wearing stepped heels because he's the same height as Georgie when they stand next to each other.
But
heels.
Stepped heels.
In that picture.
Heels, yeah, stepped heels.
There's an H in there.
It's an electrifying experience.
In that picture, leading the queue, you've got Brundle and Hill. So they're clearly showing that these guys are, you know, a twin team at the front, pair of horses, if you like, in the chariot.
Those in white shirts.
Yeah, but they're not. The picture kind of makes you think that they would be the prime team, and they aren't.
They haven't put Steve Ryder in there because it would just look a bit
The least shorter than Georgie.
Yeah.
I met him.
Really? Your fingers on the left.
Oh, he's one of those blokes that, you know, those, what are those cottages that they make? The really tiny ones, the David what's it things? You seen those?
Oh, I know the ones you mean.
Yeah, well, that's where he really lives, in one of those. Honest.
That's not fair.
It, those dudes short.
On this website, you've got the photo of all of them, or most of them, in the middle, and then on the left-hand side, you've got videos, and then if you scroll down to the bottom, the one person without a video is Mr. Hill. As in, I'm not really fully committed, I'm not talking on screen. But going from that to being a commentator would be a big step.
Now, Russ is a designer in the chat room, and he's put down, that picture's been shopped. No kidding.
Yeah, it's a really dangerous photo shoot.
Exactly.
If you actually look at that photo, there are four different levels, because you've got Brundle in front of Hill, in front of the guy on the left, in front of the girl on the left.
Yeah.
So is there a pecking order here?
On the girls at the back?
No.
Are we turning this into a glass ceiling argument?
No, just on the fact that you've got almost like Brundle is number one behind, and you've got Hill behind him, not like they're the joint team.
Well, yeah, actually, if you look at it, yeah, Georgie and Anthony are on the middle level, and then Croft and what's his face, the presenter. Oh,
Apple
at the back, because they do the pit lane stuff.
This is like when Apple announce things and the invite comes out and people dissect the invite. You're now dissecting the sports.
Have
team
you seen the shine on Georgie's leg?
Yes.
I mean, that's not right.
It doesn't come across very well. Can't really see it.
Shiny legs. I mean, that's where the girl needs a bit of powder, mate. It's, and she's got a fair old set of milk bottles as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but her voice got me. That was just like, yes, thank you for that.
She's probably
now back to the studio. Aha!
Ewan, she's probably wearing shiny tights.
Probably, absolutely. But what are you talking about around her neck?
Yeah, we're talking about the
shiny tights. Right. Should we do the race or not?
Yeah.
Stuff it. Let's say that for next week. the original race. What about the qualifying then? So we've got a 1-2 for McLaren. Did that look like it was going to be the standard for the rest of the season, that this was all the McLarens are an awful lot faster than everything else and we're stuffed with it, or was there real competition there?
Well, we did kind of set a precedent, especially with neither the Ferraris getting into the top 10. That was like, ooh.
Well, there's quite a few. I mean, you got Raikkonen was nowhere near, and who was it that was supposed to be in the top 10 shootout and they didn't? Kobayashi was one that they thought would be in there.
Alonso crashed out, didn't he, at the start of Q2, and therefore he was, that's why he ended up 12th.
Massa was a loser, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yep. He finished last in Q2, didn't he?
It wasn't a great weekend for Ferrari, I think we can say.
Yeah, no. To be fair, though, I mean, the race, I know we're jumping the gun a bit here because we're supposed to be doing quali, but, you know, certainly Alonso seemed to get some performance out of that car, and it definitely resurrected my thoughts after what we saw of quali.
Well, there's a comment instantly here in the chat room. Massa is bloody useless.
Yeah.
Discuss.
Well, can I just say that I was absolutely disgusted with the move that he made in that race. That's the kind of thing I expect a rookie to do.
What, the one where he parked at the end?
No, the one where he tried to go wheel to wheel. The way he did it was just like the kind of thing I'd expect from I'm not going to say who, but you know, the rookies, in some of the younger rookies who haven't got much experience. You certainly don't expect that from Massa. It was just appalling.
I mean, the Alonso didn't really feature much at all, even in the race, though, did he? I mean, he crashed out on qualifying and again was a shadow of his former self during the race itself. Is the Ferrari the problem of the car? If you've got Massa, who's bloody useless, and you've got really Alonso being nowhere, is it the car that's at issue this year?
I think we're just going to have to see, but they're clearly having problems.
Massa was really unlucky. I think his car was the worst setup car. I was looking at Clip the Apex have compiled a spreadsheet with tyre deg across the whole race, so you can see how they stack up, and Massa's car is just truly awful. The consensus is that it must have been a setup problem. Alonso was wringing that car's neck. He was driving that qualifying laps.
Or it's the brutishness.
50 laps.
Yeah. Steve, go ahead. You got a theory?
I've got. I'm going to make a fortune in Massa this year.
Well, are you going to bet against him doing anything?
No. I'm going to put a bet on at the Mr. William Hill. I'm going to say, Sir Mr. Hill, can I put a bet on for how many times he's going to collide with another car? Because I reckon it must be about, it was 20 races, 19 to go. I reckon he's going to collide with about 15 cars this season.
Well, you're going to get about 7-5 on for that, aren't you? I mean, it's...
Make a beeline for the next silver car.
If you win that bet, you'll owe William Hill money.
Well,
it'll be that bad odds.
I'll put 10 quid on, whatever number comes up most often in the chat room tonight.
Right, okay then, chat room.
I'll do that.
Predict the number that William Hill are going to get of Steve's money. 10, there we go, 10. They're going to get £10 of your money.
Now, how many times is Massa going to collide into another car? Or how many races is he going to collide into another car? That's the way to do it.
How many has he done this time?
One and one so far.
He's one for one. He hasn't had a wheel brush or anything like that as well.
Yeah. No, well,
14 says Super Chicken. He's going to hit Hamilton four times this year for sure. Says Jinx.
Aren't they going to just stay away from each other as much as possible?
Well,
they,
by virtue of the fact that Massa's a crap and in a crap car and Hamilton's not and in a good car, I think they may be well away from each other this year.
Well, I don't know. Massa might take Hamilton out when Hamilton tries to lap him.
When Hamilton lapped Massa. There you go, that's the title. 12 says Mr. Walker. Yeah, it's good picks. So qualifying was a bit of a pedestrian affair or not? Outside of a couple of crash outs from people that weren't really in the running, it was kind of the order that you expected. Now, Red Bull are still there in the hunt and a 1-2 for McLaren. And I thought that the Lotus and that kind of thing, they did better than you would have thought.
Well,
and particularly, yeah, exactly. And also De Resta. He was kind of still there or thereabouts. He's got a bright future, definitely. He needs a better car, though.
Mm.
We said it last year, and we said it, you know, this year. He needs a better car.
Yeah, did you see that overtake on the last lap? Literally, as they were coming up to the line.
Yeah, right at the very end. Death straights.
Mm.
But he's lost in the Force India, most definitely.
Kurz Button did it all for him.
Do you know, part of the reason why I won't come up with a large number on the theory that we were discussing earlier is I think if Massa keeps doing it, they'll kick him out before halfway through the season.
So it'll stop at 8 because it'll be gone.
So they might be, then they might say, okay, well, we'll have De Resta in a Ferrari. And that is why I would love to see that.
Oh, no, there's a real question. Is De Resta going to take a Ferrari if he's offered the seat?
Well, why wouldn't he?
Well, is it better than his car, though?
Yeah. Come on, this is Force India.
Well, hang on. Chris has got a little bit of a glint in his eye there. Come on, mate, come back with that.
It's got to be more fun, hasn't it?
What, any working for a Ferrari?
Even if it's a bucket on wheels, it's still going to be fun to drive a Ferrari.
Yeah, but you get it's a paycheck, I grant you, but you know, look at the result of this weekend. He's done better than he would have done if he'd be sat in a Ferrari, surely.
I think if it would be a really interesting challenge if I was a new driver, second year in Formula One, to get the chance to, because you're young enough, so you're fit enough. It's not like when Ferrari had that real problem when Massa was injured, where they kept on having to just call in the fifth, third drivers and things, and they were just doing a terrible job. You'd have the ability to handle the machine, I think, once you got used to it. If he's already driving a Force India, it could be that the Ferrari is comparable in terms of quality and raceability.
But it's a Ferrari.
But it's a Ferrari. But then you can work with the team. You can say, look, this is terrible. I've already driven the Force India, right? This is what they did right and you've done wrong. So he can bring all the little development tweaks.
Okay.
I think that with Alonso there alongside him, he'd be a fool to say no. And we know that Ferrari have got the money and the desire to actually develop that car further. Yeah. So why would
Alonso,
we do it?
Alonso's a master. You got to learn from Alonso, even if the car's a dog. And I've just watched in the picture-in-picture because they're replaying the race. That Ferrari crash. Oh,
ouch.
It's painful.
Ouch.
Which, what, Massa's?
Yeah.
Or Alonso's beach in quali.
Yeah. No, the race, like 48. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, it's just painful.
The race then, standard question, A, does F1 have a T1 problem? because there was another smash. And B, what about Weber?
What about Weber?
He actually started.
Mm.
He didn't.
And finished.
He didn't have his handbag fall off the clutch. And he actually got away. You know, I mean, that's not bad, is it, for him? That's what, three starts in 25 races now?
Hmm.
I thought the vase and the start, I thought you were going to ask about the helmet cam.
Talk me through helmet cam then, Steve.
Well, I was really disappointed the helmet cam is kind of off to the side of the head. If you're going to have a helmet cam, I want to see what it looks like from the middle of the eyes. Kind of, but it was it's like a helmet cam down here, kind of just to the left of your right. And it was a weird position that made you look like, or made it look like the person driving was kind of half drunk, slouching down, hands up on the wheel. It looked a bit weird to me.
Did you see the view that Brundle said was like the most realistic view he'd ever seen?
The one that's just down on the side.
No, there was one just down to the side behind the driver's head, and he said that's probably the closest experience that you'll get to being in an F1 car visually without actually doing it.
Or being in a simulator.
Mm.
Certainly, it's the one that feels the most real. When I played the game before I switched to cockpit view, it felt the most real. I think it's as well because of the field of vision. You've got a real panoramic view, and the feel of speed is just crazy.
Yeah, and the shake as well.
Yeah. Whatever, all the drivers were saying, it's shaking too much because your eyes have got built-in stabilizers, so it would never be this like that when you're driving along because you can see what you're doing. But interesting to see how and when the drivers are looking. There was right at the beginning when that big pile up and everyone was kind of looking like that really quickly. It was a Toro Rosso driver and he kept on darting his. It was Ricciardo. And he kept on really quickly looking from one side to the other. It's just interesting to see how they deal with it, situations like that. I like that.
What were their heads like, Chris?
Ran up. One of them was on the full by full course. It was crazy.
I saw the Muppets movie this weekend.
Kermit D. Frog here.
Hey, waka waka. We got a crash at the start, and then it was kind of like Jensen really got the tip on Hamilton, just took that inside line into the turn one, and he was off, and that was a clean pair of heels from that point forwards. I mean, Jensen ran the perfect race, surely.
Yep, he tweeted that, saying it was perfect day in Albert Park.
He likes the track, though, doesn't he?
Couldn't put a foot wrong.
He's won three times there now.
Mm.
Is this the heralding of a procession for Jensen, or is this just a cautious, thank you very much, I'll take that one, well, 25 points in the bag, move along?
It depends if you go with the stats.
What do the stats say then, Steve? Talk us through it, stat man.
Stats.
Stat man, I said.
Isn't it a stat that the winning member of the team, I think it was on the BBC coverage, the winning member of the team.
I know what you're going to say.
Is the winning team of the year, but not the winning member.
You've already lost me. Start again.
So
Hamilton's going to win the season.
Because what?
Because of the stats.
Yeah, but the stats say what? Because I got confused. You had too many relationships there. It was like your cousin's mother's uncle married your brother's sisters.
No. If you look back in time through history, it's backed up. The fact of the stats show that Hamilton's going to win.
Yeah, but what stat shows he's going to win?
The stats.
The number of winners of each year, the winner of the Australia, the first Grand Prix of the season, Australia, in this case, the first race of the season, is someone in that team will win the championship that year.
But not the person who wins the Oz race.
But somebody in that team is most of the time world champion. That's what they're saying.
I'll bring up the stats.
Right, so what you're saying is, whichever team wins at Melbourne, the person who wins at Melbourne isn't going to win, but the team is going to win, so therefore the other person is the one that always ends up world champion.
Yep.
So on that basis, are you running down to William Hills with another tenner for Lewis Hamilton?
Yep. No, because I don't like him.
Well, he's just your pony, mate. He's just there to make money for you. You don't have to have dinner and drinks with him afterwards.
I put money on the fact that he's not with his woman at the end of the season.
Well, that's the point, because didn't he get rid of her last year and he's back now?
Yeah.
She was sat there in
I was quite surprised to see her there.
I thought they'd split up. I think it's a serious part of the season. I think it told immeasurably on him three parts of the way through the season last year.
I know. I'm surprised that she was
Eddie
there.
Jordan.
Yeah.
You'd rather watch Eddie Jordan.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Look.
Go on.
I'm trying to build up the stats. I'm trying to get the stats, but I can't quite get it. Come back to me.
Okay, right.
I think it must be that a member of that team, not necessarily the other person, because I can think of quite a few situations where the team has won it, and sometimes it's been the driver who won the race has actually won the championship. For instance, Jensen in 2009.
Yeah, see,
when he was driving Braun, he won the first 3-4 races, was it?
Yeah, Jenk says in the chat room, stats say that the driver who wins the first race is typically in a good standing to win it all. I mean, for a start, he's got a 7-point head start.
2011.
Right.
Winner, Vettel. Who won the season?
Vettel.
2010.
So that's shot your theory to pieces with your first thing that you've read out.
Wait there, it goes on. 2010, who won the race? Button. Who won the season?
Vettel.
Oh, Vettel. So it's utter rubbish. Dude, if you're going to say something, why don't you say something that supports your argument?
I know what you're saying, Ewan, and because the BBC did cover this. And I think there was something like, it wasn't every year, but there was only been a couple of exceptions or something like that.
Steve picks them out. Rubbish. Steve picks those two exceptions out. In the last 30 years, it's only not happened twice, and Neighbour reads them out.
No, I think it's a member of the team wins the world title, not necessarily the opposite one from driver in the same team that wins.
Don't worry, I've got some new stats.
Oh, right, here we go. Statman, go.
Wait there.
I can't wait, mate. What's this one? Whoever says Mary had a little lamb, her fleece was white as snow, and finishes before the other driver usually wins the world championship.
And stands on the head on the start-finish line.
1997.
That was...
Chris was still at school, but go on.
Damon, no.
No, that was Jacques Villeneuve.
There we go, 1997. David that was Coulthard, Jacques Villeneuve, Jordan wasn't it? McLaren. Villeneuve for Williams. But in 1997...
So he's looking for examples where he actually proves it now.
Well done.
Yeah, that's the exception right there, Steve.
So we got 97.
Schumacher.
In what year? Oh, Steve, you are now officially the channel's stat man. It is your job every week to come up with an interesting stat. There we go.
Stats man, yeah.
Stats what you is? Never knew. That's the
it's
new feature.
On the BBC, but it's a lie.
We haven't. It's complete rubbish. Absolutely. They had your hook, line, and sinker, mate. We can't do only their mother because we've done them all last year. So what you've got to do is you've got to do stat man. That's the new feature, mate, right there. You are stat man now. It is your job to come up with something interesting each and every week. Have we got a magic moment of the race? Chris, start us off, mate. Where's your magic moment coming from?
Magic moment for me was when McLaren balls up their strategy and meant that Mr. Hamilton ended up looking rather miffed on the podium. Because he was all set for a decent race and then they mucked up the strategy, but then Button won again and Button enjoys winning.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of mean.
You like it when Hamilton's pissed off.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Because you're hating for have a good looking girlfriend, all the money in the world.
Yep. You've got me.
And he races a car for a living and a good living at that.
I'll tell you what my magic moment was that Mr. Webber actually finished his home race.
For the first time.
Yeah, and nearly ended up on the podium too.
Yeah.
Not a million miles away. Well done. Well done, Mark. Thank you, Chris. Magic moment for you, Steve. No, you're still doing stats. 1981 was a magic moment because...
Nelson Piquet.
Indeed.
In a Brabham.
Won the title.
It was, yes. Power on that
Brabham. But in the same year, Roberto Bonello won, and he was Brazilian. See?
He's from Brazilian.
The same country.
What's that got to do with the first race at Melbourne?
They both won.
At Melbourne? Both of them won at Melbourne.
No. Nelson won the title.
But
Roberto won at Melbourne. And they're both Brazilians. Therefore, this year is going to be a UK driver that wins.
It's going to be a Brazilian one too.
So that gives DiResta a chance now as well.
What?
That gives DiResta a chance now as well.
Because?
He's Scottish.
In a Ferrari, of course.
In a Ferrari, got you. There we go.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Have you got a magic moment for us, Sarah?
Yes. I hate to say it because I was originally going to say Jensen nailing Lewis at the start, but I thought that was a bit boring and I'm sure somebody else was going to pick it. So I had a think and I actually thought it was, as much as it pains me to say this, Vettel nailing Hamilton during the safety car.
Yeah, I mean, when the safety car came out, there was a lot of that where I felt a bit sorry because Button had got ahead of everyone and genuinely had stuffed everybody. There was no one that was going to get close to him. And then the safety car comes out after, you know, someone's engine just died. Complete failure. Couldn't even make it to the grass properly. And all of a sudden now, race back on. And as a viewer, fantastic. But there was a bit of me was sitting thinking, well, this isn't fair.
Yeah, it wasn't fair to Jensen because it cut his lead as well from 11 seconds to virtually nothing.
Exactly. But then you're sitting thinking, well, okay, but that's racing, isn't it? You know, well, no, yeah. The safety car's not racing. Safety car's far, far different from that. What did we think to the back markers passing during the safety car as well?
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea as long as they let them through, but they really didn't.
This is a bone of contention with many people, including the commentators, because half of them think that they should just be part of the race. And that's the whole point of racing. They're most highly paid races in the world. So they should at least be able to overtake some slow people.
Well, they are supposed to let them past. Yeah.
The thing is, you've got to add
safety car laps as well.
The thing is, you've also got to remember, it does actually help the people at the front as well, because it gets them out of the way. So you don't have any incidents at the start when you've got cars being caught off guard because the lead driver is actually, especially if you've got one ahead of the lead driver, that could potentially cause an issue. And it does make it a bit more interesting too.
I mean,
I was really impressed with the Australian lorry driver who removed the Formula One car.
Go on.
No, it's quickly they did it. But before you knew it, the lorry was on the circuit. And the impressive thing was the lorry was still coming down the main straight, and the sign came up saying safety car in this route or in this lap. I bet that lorry driver was like, oh, bloody hell, better get a shifty on here.
Yeah, I mean, that's one good thing. That's the one thing that Monaco have got sussed.
He's a skip driver.
A very famous skip driver. Was probably flagging him out. Oh, I was on the track with Jensen.
Can I just say one more thing? I know we're talking about magic moment, but my driver of the day was Pastor Maldonado.
Because?
Until he had that accident on the last lap.
He stuffed it in the wall for no good reason.
He was going to score more points for Williams than they scored in the entire season last year.
Was he passing anyone? No. Was it a pressure corner where he's being pressured from behind? No. Was he just really driving in a bit of a straight line with a slight bend to it and overcompensated completely and slid face first into the barrier? Yes.
It's funny you should say that because it's literally about to come up on the replay here. And when I watched it, it looked like he had lack of grip and the car kind of surfboarded along the bumps and he lost the back and that was that.
I thought something went on the car.
No, I think it was a cock-up.
It was one hell of an impact, wasn't it?
As my two-year-old said, watching that, oh, daddy, he's fallen over as it went smash into the side wall.
It was a pretty horrendous point of impact because it was nose first. And it shows how strong those cockpits are.
Yeah, very good. It'll be sore today, but never mind.
Yeah.
Steve, do you have a magic moment for us?
We've mentioned already, I know we've mentioned it, but the bit with Hamilton trying to smile at the end was just brilliant.
He doesn't do a smile particularly well anyway, does he, so?
No, but I love his earring. I might get one of those.
Oh, yeah,
the little diamond thing in his ear.
Have you asked your wife if you can have one?
No, she'd probably say yes just to take the mick out of me.
Yeah, make you to wear it to work.
He asked for a nose ring last time. He got the pink headphones instead.
Yeah, Jinx in the chat room's chimed in with sore but alive. 20 to 30 years ago, that kind of impact would have killed the driver.
Yeah, that's the point.
But the driver would have been doing about 80 miles an hour less. That's
No.
All right,
they were still very fast.
All right, it's 40.
They wouldn't have had, they wouldn't have had catch fencing. They would have killed a spectator.
Yeah, no, Mila Milia.
Yeah, it's just come up on the screen now. And the wheel retainers as well, those chains work really well. It's one hell of a thud.
They work up to
the replay on it where the noise is gut-wrenching. Oh, it's awful.
Mm.
Back end goes, he tries to overcorrect. Oh, it's a horrible accident.
Yeah, they work up to a certain level of impact. What we saw a few times last year where they actually went, or where they came off because the impact was too so hard.
Yeah. Yes. It's one heck of an impact. But it shows how well they're made, the fact that the car was basically intact.
My magic moment was after the safety car came out, there was a little exchange between Jensen and the pit lane. And it was kind of like, you could tell in his voice, he sounded confident before he asked the question. And he was just wanting facts, you know, give me the facts. What's the lap times in comparison with me and Vettel? And the pit lane came in and said, he's been around you and he's been level with us, but we're lighter on fuel load. And that was kind of, I really enjoyed that moment because when he came on, he wasn't crapping himself that someone was going to, you know, oh no, Vettel's coming up behind me and I'm gonna blow it. Oh God, this always happens to me. He came on with just a very confident, right, give me the stats, give me the figures. Okay, that's fine. Thanks very much. And he went out and he carried on and kicked his ass. And I thought that was really cool because that was the moment where if you'd have had, you know, how many other drivers in the field would have had Vettel 11 seconds behind them? And then all of a sudden, through no fault of their own, Vettel's now right on their arse. How many of them would have stuffed it in the barrier?
Was that your Lewis impression?
Maybe. Lewis might have lost his ring and shoved it in the barrier, definitely. But I think there's quite a few others. If they'd had 11 seconds on Vettel, and then all of a sudden that was dissipated in an instant, and he was right behind them, they'd have crapped their knickers and they'd have gone into the barrier and Vettel would have been through.
Yeah, that's
quite awesome. I think Jensen's got my money on this year.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Well, interesting to note as well that McLarens are keeping pace with the Red Bulls with a lighter fuel load. Yeah. They had their engine turned down, which means this is a big game on Red Bull.
Mm. Hey, do you think there's going to be a turn up halfway through the season on this, Chris? Is it going to get faster yet?
Well, we're already into the relative pace race, aren't we? You know, they're going to be doing the upgrades for Kuala Lumpur already. All the teams will have had a good look at everybody else's cars. So. Mm. It's going to be a change again. I'm really pleased that the Williams car's good this year.
I know.
It was a right crock last year, but it seems like a decent-ish car at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. I mean, Paul de Resta was hinting in the interview at the end about they're obviously going to get a substantial package when the European season starts.
Mm.
Can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
Did anyone see or in the chat room see a pub advertising the F1, maybe not for this weekend gone, but you know, like the pub show the football. Did anyone see a pub showing the Formula One or advertising it?
I didn't.
Do they know one?
I think it'll probably happen during the European season, Steve.
Okay.
If you're curious on the...
It was 6 a.m, Steve, so I...
Well, fine. No, 4:30, thank you very much. 6 a.m. Jeez.
Well, for the race.
If you go on the Sky Sports Formula One site, somewhere there's a pub finder. I saw it the other morning and thought, crikey, I wish I was there right now. Mm. At 6:30 in the morning. Oh, here it is. It's pubfinder.sky.com.
Well, you can do it this weekend, Chris.
Other broadcasters are
available. Later this weekend, coming up.
Let's have a look. Postcode.
That's
stick
the
it
pick
in.
Of the week.
Ooh, there are.
Right there.
Oh, hey, very good. There's one just down from me, the Bear Tavern.
Well, well, well.
There we go.
We know now where Chris lives, so the mad old lady is down there.
Oh, no. Wait a while, we'll be here because I'll be there watching in the pub.
So next week, go on, sorry.
But the other way that somebody contacted me to let me know you could do it, if you didn't want to subscribe maybe to Sky, maybe, was watch it on one of the European TV networks.
With the Five Live commentary.
With the Five Live commentary.
Greek so if anyone... TV would be happy to sell you something, I'm sure.
Yep, so I believe that practice exists somewhere.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. All that.
We've only got 3 days, 3 hours, 47 minutes and 16 seconds, 12 to Kuala Lumpur practice. It's going to start on Friday morning at 2 a.m. Practice two is at 6 a.m. Practice three is at 5 a.m. on Saturday. Qualifying is at 8 a.m. on Saturday. And then the race is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. I won't be watching that live. I'll be down in London with someone who hasn't got Sky for a start, but also Sunday morning, you know, come on.
I actually wish I could see it because it's my favourite race of the season.
Kuala Lumpur.
Always loved Malaysia.
Jolly that Rankin,
that tight
stream,
hairpin
then.
First bend is something else.
I do what, Christopher?
You could stream it, sir. I actually streamed it last weekend because I was at my mother's house.
Yeah, I've got Sky Go, and I've got Sky Go on the new iPad, and I've got it on the laptop. They're my two enabled devices, and I have to say that I watched the rugby on the iPad 3 this weekend, and it's gorgeous. You've just got to give it a few seconds just to kind of buffer the feed and get it up to speed. But when it is that new screen and the feed from Sky, it pushes it out to HD into it, and it's stunning. Stunning. I might. Depends if my dongle holds out. I don't know if the data capacity is good enough. This podcast and many others is brought to you by UK2.net. They are the people that keep us afloat, and we're a British network, and they're a British supplier of internet and web service. Tons of stuff available to you. If you just want a domain, they do it. If you want a VPS, they do it. If you want a fixed server, you know, one of your own, completely dedicated, everything down to you, up to 100 terabytes of bandwidth a month, they do it. It's fine, no problem. And here's the best part, is anything that they do, if you're a BagelTech listener, you get the offer code BagelTech, put that in, you get 15, not 10, 15% off everything that's in your cart. And also, if you transfer a domain in, they've got a thing called a domain management charge. BagelTech listeners don't have to pay that, so you type in BagelDNS and that £20 fee just disappears entirely. BagelTech is lost without UK2.net. We really are very, very well supported by them, have been for the last 3 years. You have been looking after them because you've bought stuff from them in your droves. If you're buying web service or anything like that, please look them up first and give them a try. You'll find them very affordable, and they're extremely reliable, as it says in the heading. We've had a few people that have made comments on Twitter and sent emails into us saying how supportive and how helpful the staff were. Just filled out a ticket. 10 minutes later, website's back up and running. Thank you very much. UK2.net, please support them. Thanks very much. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Neighbour?
Clothhead HQ on Twitter, or the London Mac User Group, or most importantly, I'm going to be popping into the photo walk that we're all going to be hosting. British Tech Network and then the Mac News Group on Saturday coming.
In Camden.
Saturday 24th in Camden Town in London. Details will be on the Elmog website and the British Tech Network or Bagel Tech Network, I am sure, over the next few days.
Good. Jolly well. Sarah, where can we get hold of you?
You can get hold of me on the Twitters at SarahJaneUK.
Thank you, mate. And Mr. Woods.
Same here, at Christopher Wah.
On the Twizzers. And no nonsense show this weekend because you're away, but you're all back at normal next week.
Yes, a few technical difficulties.
You have them every week. I mean, I used to have them loads, but I mean, you guys are legendary, much worse than me. You cock it up far more.
Well, truth is, even when we're not broadcasting, I still sit in my room and just talk to the screen for about an hour and a half.
Bad luck. Need to get that one sorted out then.
Yeah, don't worry. It's all recorded.
Yeah, you didn't post last week either, did you? So,
it's good.
2 weeks off. It's summer holidays, mate.
Got to treat them in, keep them keen, all that kind of, you know. Given and also that our audience isn't apparently entirely mums, and so none of them were watching last weekend.
Of course, it's Wednesday.
Yep.
We'll be back again next week. I'm not sure when we're going to record, though, because I'm away on Sunday night, so I can't do any of the video switching around like that. We might have to enlist the help of Joe. And also, on the Monday evening, I'll be away in a hotel already, so we'll figure it out. We'll get there, don't worry. But there'll definitely be a race. F1 continues without us, unfortunately. We haven't got that much pull yet. See you next week. Thanks for listening.